This is Going Public Overtime. I'm Brooke Hildebrand-Klubbs, Director of Health Communication at Southeast Missouri State University and host of our local program, To Your Health. Today, we're talking with Dr. Amy Teemeyer, Associate Professor of Pharmacy Practice at St. Louis College of Pharmacy. And Dr. Teemeyer, thank you so much for continuing the conversation with us about the opioid epidemic and what that's looking like here in Missouri. In our previous conversation, you were discussing the things that healthcare providers, including doctors and pharmacists, are doing in preventing opioid abuse. And one of the things that you were specifically discussing were the overdose prevention drug distribution that occurs across Missouri, mentioning that every citizen of Missouri has an automatic prescription for this overdose drug. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that works?
Sure. So the standing order, like you said, is a standing prescription for anybody in the state of Missouri. It's technically a prescription that's written by Dr. Randall Williams, who is the director of Department of Health and Human Services. And it's really aimed at making sure that anybody who needs that antidote for an overdose is able to get it. So the generic name of that is naloxone, mm-hmm. and it comes in a couple of different forms. So it comes in a nasal spray, and then it comes in an injectable.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's aimed at when the overdose is occurring, it'll reverse that overdose. And so that's really important. So, you know, it depends that it is available all throughout Missouri, so you would need to go in and ask the pharmacist for it. We really are encouraging pharmacies to provide and have the medication in stock so that it's a one trip to the pharmacy, but it is possible that the pharmacy wouldn't have it and they would need to order it for mm-hmm. you, but they can certainly do that. And then as part of the standing order, they're going to need to educate whoever is purchasing that drug on a couple of different things. So the signs and symptoms of an overdose, mm-hmm. how to decrease risk, how to administer the drug, and what needs to happen after that drug is administered and going along with it.
Would that be something that let's say a parent who knows that their child is abusing opioids could keep at the house? Would they be able to get that for their child?
Absolutely. So, you know, that was one of the things that was very intentional about how that standing order was written, that it is written for anyone who is at risk of or at risk of witnessing mm-hmm. an overdose. So that's pretty broad. I mean, in some way,
right.
we could say that's probably everybody who's maybe at risk. Some of us are maybe at higher risk than others, but especially for those parents who are at risk or people who another family member or friend, that they can go in and get that naloxone and have it on hand.
Excellent. Now, something else that you had mentioned was the disposal programs. Could you first tell us about some of the risks of disposing of opioids by throwing them in the garbage or flushing them down the toilet? Those are, you know, typically ways people get rid of medication. Some of the risks associated with that, and then some of the ways that the disposal programs could work.
Sure. So the historical method or recommendation was to flush them down the toilet. And with some other medications, we are starting to see some effects that those medications are having in our waters and in our wildlife. And so because of that, we know that if we're affecting one part of the food chain lower down, that if we don't do something to mitigate that, that we will start to see that coming up farther up the food chain and affecting us. And so
right.
I don't know that we fully know what impact all of the opioids would have in our water system, but I think it's something that we need to be very cautious about.
Mm-hmm.
Putting them in the trash, if you're putting them just straight in the trash as tablets or capsules or whatever it is, that there's a risk that they could get stolen out of your trash if
mm-hmm.
somebody knows that you're putting them in there, or that animals and pets could get into them. And they
mm-hmm.
are just as susceptible to overdose as we are. And so from a safety and poison prevention standpoint, there's a lot of caution there. Now, if somebody doesn't have access to a med disposal method and
mm-hmm.
they need to get rid of something, they're very concerned and need to get rid of it right away, we can recommend that they dissolve whatever it is in water and then take that liquid and mix it with coffee grounds or kitty litter,
mm-hmm.
put it in a sealed package, and then put it in the trash. So that really minimizes, it's very hard to take that and then actually abuse that
right.
substance. And it's really that coffee grounds or kitty litter is a deterrent for any animal that might want to get into it.
Great.
And then you know, some of it might get into the water table and the landfill, but not very much. So if that's needed, that is certainly the appropriate way to take care of it at home. The best way would be any of the take-back sites that are available. So I know in St. Louis we have a lot of them. I believe the Cape Girardeau Police Department will take them as well.
Yes.
And there's also the National DEA Take-Back Days. So mm-hmm. those happen usually every September, October, and then April. So the next one coming up is April 28th. And almost all of the police stations in Missouri will participate in that. And that's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on that day. And people can stop at whatever that location is, drop off anything that they're wanting to get rid of. Those medications or any of the drop boxes then get taken to incinerator and get incinerated.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, the last thing that I wanted to ask you about while we have you here is the Journal of the American Medical Association recently published a report that found that non-opioid painkillers like acetaminophen and ibuprofen were as effective as opioids at treating chronic pain. When we spoke earlier, you mentioned, you know, that one of the things that physicians need to consider when prescribing is the type of pain that the patient has. And so with this particular type of pain, chronic pain for back or hip problems, this idea that the acetaminophen or ibuprofen could be just as effective, I wanted to get your opinion as a pharmacist on this new report and whether or not you think it will help providers move from prescribing opioids and if it could have any possible downsides.
I think it will be helpful. So we've known, and the recommendations have been for a while, that non-opioid drugs such as acetaminophen or Tylenol or ibuprofen, Motrin, can be helpful for things like arthritis pain, so knee or back pain. So it's a subset of what our chronic pain syndromes are. And I think because of the severity of pain, many times the thought previously was that, well, those pain medications probably just won't be effective. And so we, you know, mm-hmm. because of the severity of the pain, we've gone to something much stronger initially. And I think we've maybe done a disservice in that some of those medications, the acetaminophen and the ibuprofen, could potentially for people be helpful. You know, one thing that was important to note is that any pain treatment that we use is only effective probably in like 20 to 30% of the population. And so it really is kind of a trial and error to see what works for the patient. It's very hard many times to know what components are contributing to the pain. So right. sometimes it's a physiologic kind of thing where it's the arthritis or there may be nerve pain that's impacting that as well. Mm-hmm. And each of those different causes of pain needs a different kind of treatment. So again, I think for chronic pain, especially that long-term pain, even though it's severe for patients, considering the risk of opioids and the risk of overdose, it's definitely worth a trial mm-hmm. of some of those agents if there's no contraindications, no reason maybe that they can't take those medications, to try those first and try some of those higher doses to see if that does control the pain without causing significant side effects for the patient.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today. We've been going public over time with Dr. Amy T. Meyer, Associate Professor of Pharmacy Practice at St. Louis College of Pharmacy.